I've been having a good time in the book of Exodus, and I'll ask you if you will, join me there in Exodus chapter number 2 tonight. Exodus chapter number 2, there's some things I want to look at regarding the call of Moses. The call of Moses, one of the most important patriarchs in all of the Bible that we find. And God used Moses in an incredible way. He was a great instrument in the hand of the Lord. And I've noticed something. There are certain things I'm drawn to in the Bible. We mentioned this morning as I preached, I love to look at typology, and I like to look at types and pictures in the Bible. And I've noticed another thing. I got to thinking as the Lord gave me this message the other night, I love to look at people's callings in the Bible. I've already preached on the calling of Jeremiah. I've preached on the calling of Isaiah. We're preaching on the calling of Moses now. And I think it's interesting. I love it because it's such a sacred, it's such a personal, it's such an intimate thing that we deal with here in this particular passage of Scripture. And just to give us a little bit of a context of what's going on here, we know about Moses' early life, how that as a child it was made a decree by Pharaoh that they should kill all the Hebrew children, all the small Hebrew boys and all the newborns. And what they did is Jochebed, Moses' mother, she took Moses and she made him an ark of bulrushes, and she daubed it within and without with slime and with pitch, and they laid him among the bulrushes in the side of the Nile River. And there God had his hand of protection over Moses, and he was found by a handmaid of Pharaoh's daughter, and they gave the Hebrew child to her, and she got Jochebed herself to nurture the child up. But he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. He was raised unlike his brothers and sisters of the Hebrew faith. And that later on in life, as Moses got older, Moses knows he's a Hebrew. Moses is aware of these things, and he witnesses his people being mistreated. He witnesses, as a matter of fact, one of Pharaoh's workers, one of Pharaoh's taskmasters, abusing these Hebrew men. And the Bible says that Moses looks around and he looks to the right and he looks to the left and he doesn't see anybody. And Moses' anger in his flesh overcomes him, and he strikes dead this taskmaster of Pharaoh. And that he was so scared, and Pharaoh sought to kill him, and so that Moses fled into the land of Midian. And I want to read a little bit about what we find here following this, as Moses has fled into the land of Midian. The Bible says that he comes by a well, and that he finds the priest of Midian, who was Jethro, and he takes his daughter to wife. And here now we find this man Moses in a very different situation than which he started in. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 23, I want to read what the Bible says. It says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up before God by the reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses," this is chapter number 3, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, in the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the land, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, that thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. What a fantastic, what an amazing, what a captivating passage of Scripture that we've just read. We'll know that the latter four books, this book and the latter three books to come, are going to be filled with the journeys of this man Moses, or the works of this man Moses that God raised up to deliver the people of Israel from out under the hands of Egypt and out from under the hands of Pharaoh. And it all started here in the wilderness of Midian when God called Moses from this burning bush. And from the Scripture that we've read tonight, I'd like to take just a few moments and I'd like to examine some things that stood out to me and some things that helped me and some things that convicted me spiritually, and I believe that perhaps it could help us here this evening. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and Lord, we're here tonight because of you and for you, Lord. And Father, I pray that you bless the remainder of this service. I pray that you bless the preaching and the invitation. I pray that you bless the business meeting to follow, God. But Lord, I ask that you'd help me to preach in this hour. Lord, you know that I can't do it without you. And Lord, that my words are just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal up here without your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray that not one person would leave here tonight untouched by the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you bless the reading and the preaching of your word. And Lord, help us to see the things in our life that we could do better to serve you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I mentioned just a moment ago, I found myself drawn to the callings of these people in the Bible, and I think that's very interesting how that God called Moses. And I love how specific the Bible is. Everything that's in that book is in there for a reason. You see something that seems a little extra, something a little seems a little bit out of the way, but you better believe here this evening that God put that there for a reason. Amen. The first thing I'd like for us to notice about this passage of Scripture that we've read is Moses' turning. This is what we'll call Moses' turning. See, oftentimes the call of God in someone's life will happen in a very peculiar and a very unsuspected way. A lot of times that's how God deals with us. A lot of times that's how God works. I'm glad for those times God shows up when we least expect Him. Amen. But Moses' turning is something interesting, or Moses' answering, or Moses' yielding to God is something interesting. See, in verse number 1, I want us to notice the location of the place where this happened. It says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came into the mountain of God, even to Horeb. See, Moses is tending this flock, and Moses has separated himself so that he could take these sheep, so that he could feed them, so that they could be nourished, because in the desert of Midian, there wasn't really much place to get any kind of nourishment. There wasn't much place. You read in the Bible of how that Jacob would send his sons out into the field, and they'd go all the way to Shechem, that was almost 50 miles away. When Jacob made that journey to go and to find his brother, even with a mule, that was most of a day's journey, if not more. See, they were willing to go, they were willing to separate, they were willing to travel to get to the places where they need nourish, to get to the places where they needed to get what they needed from God. And I believe that that's exactly how Moses, that's how God chose to deal with Moses. He got him alone, he got him separated, he got him away from all the outside distractions. I say that tonight because there have been times in my own life where I feel that I've been separated. I feel that I've been separated from my brethren. I feel like I've been separated from my church. I feel like I've been separated from my family. And I felt like I was out adrift and that I was all alone and that I was by myself and that there was no one around. And what I failed to realize in those times, and in hindsight, I can look back now and I can see what God was doing. But when God has you alone, when God gets you away from all those things, that's the times you need to listen up real close, because God is getting ready to speak to your heart. He separated Moses away from all these things. See, if you study a little bit of the Bible and a little bit of the geography of what's going on here, about the only place that he could have taken them if he was in the desert of Midian is to the Sinai Peninsula, to these mountains and to these ridges where they had vegetation and they had greenery and they had things that these sheep could eat. And I do not believe that it is any consequent or that it is any that it's any coincidence at all that God put Moses on top of Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. I believe it's safe to say here tonight that God had Moses exactly where he wanted him. Let me tell you something tonight, Christian. If you're seeking God with all your heart and you're earnestly praying and you're doing your best to see God's face, you're exactly where God wants you. You might think, well, I don't think this is where God wants me. I don't think this is where I need to be. Why would God want me here? Why would this trial be happening in my life? Why would I be going through this hardship? But believe me, tonight, friend, God has you exactly where He wants you. Concerning Moses' calling or Moses' turning, we see the location, but we see this phenomena take place in verse number 2. And the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord, we'll find later that that is God Himself speaking to Moses. But the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This is literally a miracle we find taking place in Exodus chapter number 3. This bush, it was somewhat dry, it was somewhat thorny, it was rough, and it was not something well desired among the land, but it was something that would burn up real quick if it caught fire. And Moses sees this and sees that this fire is in the midst of this bush, but that it is not consumed. I read many a man and many a commentators that are much smarter than I, and there seems to be a consensus among them that this is a picture or a figure of Israel, the people that he was sent to deliver, how that they were still, and God still had them planted where he wanted them, but that there was persecution, that there was attacks, that there was oppression, but that they were not consumed. We read in the book of Genesis in the times of Joseph how that after Joseph died and they began to be oppressed and these things took place, that they grew and they prospered. I believe it's the same way with the New Testament church today. I'm not a supersessionist and I don't believe that the church has replaced Israel. God's still got a plan for the church and God's still got a plan for Israel, but they're still the people of God. And when you oppress the people of God, what's going to happen? They're only going to get stronger. And so here we see this miracle in the wilderness, and we see this burning bush. And in verse number 3, the Bible says this, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. We mentioned just a moment ago how that the Bible is very specific regarding everything that it says. And I believe that Moses, he sees this. He sees that it's a miracle. He sees that it's a phenomenon. And I believe perhaps that he said this audibly. He said, I will now turn aside. Listen to me, friend. If God's got you to a place where he's trying to speak to your heart, you need to take advantage of that moment while it's there. Because sure as God calls you, and because sure as God offers you some type of service towards him, it could be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He says, I will turn aside. Spiritual opportunity must be seized whenever the time is right. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Brother Rob mentioned those word studies, and I tend to be a fan of those myself. And I got to studying that phrase because this is not the only place it's mentioned. If you'll remember when we looked at the calling of Isaiah, God called out to Isaiah in that heavenly vision, and he says, whom will I send and who will go for us? And what did he say? He said, here am I, send me. See, this phrase to the Hebrew people, this was more than just a phrase of stating their location. It was more than just a declaratory statement of where they were. But what it was a submissive phraseology, and it was twofold as to say two things. One, I'm ready to listen. And two, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to obey. And Moses, realizing and recognizing the presence of God in that place, in that manifestation of that burning bush, realizing the voice of God, he says, here am I. He says, whatever it is, God, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to do what you want. And Moses is humbled before God. The Bible says in verse number 4, he says, and the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for in the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses, or moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses was overcome with the fear of God and the presence of God at this place. Listen to me tonight, friend. I hope this is real to you. I hope that you see this in your mind, and I hope that you feel this the way that I feel this when I read my Bible, because there are often times in our lives that's what we're missing. Amen. We're missing that humility. We're missing that fear of God in our lives. And I think it's interesting that he asked Moses, he told him when he came towards that burning bush, he said, draw not hither. And he said, take off thy shoe from off thy feet. You know what I believe he was asking Moses to do? He's saying, I want you to remove what's keeping you comfortable. He's sitting here, he's around a thorn bush, okay? No doubt there's briars, no doubt there's things all around him. No doubt he's out in the desert, he's out in the Sinai Peninsula. Who's to say what's on that ground? But God says, Moses, and he calls him and take thy shoes from off thy feet. He told the same thing to Joshua outside of the walls of Jericho. You know, a lot of times I believe God is going to remove us from our comfort zone when He calls us to do His work. Amen? We'll be called out of our comfort zone. I thank God that He goes with us though. Amen? Amen. Not only do we see Moses' turning, but we see Moses' task. And I had a real good time studying this. The Bible says in verse number 7, and I believe by this time Moses' heart is humbled. Moses is ready. Moses is bowed down before God. And God gives Moses this message of hope. And he says in verse number 7, he says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I read that phrase towards the end of that verse. For I know their sorrows. And I was reminded of our own Lord Jesus Christ and how that the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. That phrase, that word, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You get and you study that word in your Bible, you know what it means? It means that there's a harmony. It means that there's a balance. It means that one affects the other. And I got to reading and studying that word a little bit, and there's some interesting things I found, and I was able to apply it to something that directly happened to me in my life just a few weeks ago. See, I was sitting in the living room back there one evening, and I was picking my guitar. That's what I was doing. I was sitting on the couch, and I was trying to strum the guitar, and I was trying to pick the guitar, and I had a mandolin sitting over on the kitchen table, just probably 6 feet from where I was playing guitar. And I was sitting there, and I was strumming, and I would mess up. If y'all heard me guitar, you'd know I mess up a bunch, all right? But I was strumming, and I messed up, and so I took my fingers, and I clamped down on the fretboard like that to stop the sustain of the guitar so I could start over. But when I would stop that guitar from sustaining, and I would stop those strings from vibrating, I was hearing a ringing. I was hearing something. Something kept ringing after I stopped the strings on those guitars. And I got to playing it again, and I would stop it real abruptly, and I would listen, and I was kind of feeling it towards over on my right side, and I looked over, and sure enough, the closer I got to that mandolin, when I would play that guitar, that mandolin would ring. And I was so fascinated, and I wondered about what was going on here, and I came to look up, and I came to realize that there's this thing called sonic vibrations and sonic compatibility, and what basically it teaches is that if I have that guitar tuned to an E, if I have that thing tuned in the key of E, and I'm playing that thing, and that mandolin is in perfect tune with that guitar in the key of E, when I strum those strings, those sonic vibrations are going to go forward, and they're going to shake the strings on that mandolin. That's the same way, that's the same word, that's the same exact way that the Bible describes to us that Christ is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Every hurt we have, He hurts. Every sorrow we have, He's sorrowful. Every anger and every brokenness and every righteous indignation that we feel, Christ sees that and Christ feels that for us. And Moses, he tells them right here in verse number 7, he says, "For I know their sorrows." Amen. I imagine by now Moses is weeping. Moses is praising God. Moses is thanking God. He says, God's heard their prayers. God's going to deliver them. God knows their sorrows. In verse number 8, he says this. He says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, large land flowing with milk and honey, a place of the Canaanites," and so on and so forth. And he goes on in verse number 9 and he says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." And I believe just about now, Moses is about to lose it. Moses is weeping. Moses is praising the Lord. Moses is excited. Moses is about to run and take a life. He's praising God. He's thanking God for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. And then God gets to verse number 10. And He says this, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." Moses said, "Wait a minute." Moses says, "Hold on a second, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said, "Wait a minute, I know there's not many shepherds, I know there's not many people on this ridge tonight, but you might have got the wrong guy. I'm not sure you were looking for me after all." And God is calling Moses. God is tasking Moses with these things. And Moses fears that the task that God has placed on his life is far much more than he can bear. Far much more than he can stand. God tells Moses, he says, "I want to use you." And Moses remembers back to how there's over 2 million of those Hebrews down in Egypt. And God wants him to bring every single one of them out of there. And he wants them to come against the most powerful empire that at this time the world had ever known. At this time, secularly speaking, Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world. And he tells Moses, he says, "I want to send you." I'm sure about this time, the devil's trying to get on Moses' back. I'm sure I got to thinking about Moses and I tried to put myself in his place and I tried to think about what the devil would try to say to me if I was in that position. I got to thinking about how he probably thought, you know, I'm just a herdsman in the desert. I'm not educated in any kind of military, strategic plan, anything like that. I'm not a man of war. I'm just a herdsman. I'm just a sheep herder. I'm just a shepherd. I'm sure the devil got into his head and made him to think, you know, I was raised by the Egyptians. I don't even feel like a real Hebrew. I don't even feel like I belong to these people. These people don't see me the same way that I see them. They don't see me as their people. I don't even feel like I'm one of them. I'm sure the devil was on his back making him to think about when he slew that Egyptian out in the field, and he would think to himself, how can a righteous, holy God, how can the Spirit of God call someone as unclean and as wicked and as impulsive and desiring to follow after the flesh as me? How could God use somebody as wicked as me to do His will? But listen to me tonight, friend. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God's not looking for who's the most equipped. God's not looking for who's the most well-spoken. God's not looking for who's the most polished. You know who God's looking for? God's looking for the people who are humble and willing. Those are the people that God's looking for. And He tells Moses in verse number 11, He says this, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses is saying, "Listen, God, I think you might have the wrong guy here. Who am I? Who do you think I am? What do you think? What do you see in me?" And we see not only Moses' turning and Moses' task, but we see Moses' token. God shares something with him in verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And he said, Certainly." That's another word I'm glad is in there. Amen. "Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." I can only imagine what Moses is thinking. Now listen to me, friend. When God calls you into His work, when God calls you to do something for His glory, it's going to surprise you. Every time God's called me to do something, I've never thought to myself, well, you know, I kind of saw that coming. I've never thought that before. I've always thought, Lord, why this? Why here? Why then? Why now? Why is this going on? Why me? What is this? And see, Moses, God gives him a token and he says, listen, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be with you. Christian, child of God, tonight we have a God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is a promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might be here tonight. You might be wayward. You might be out in the wilderness. You might be out of the will of God. God's still there. God wants to call you back into the fold. Amen. God still stands with open arms, ready and waiting, just as the prodigal's father did. If you're here tonight and you're a saint, you're seeking God, you're desiring God, maybe God's got something for you, but it seems a little bit more than you can chew. It seems like He's wanting you to bite off a little bit more than you can chew. That's exactly the way that God works tonight, friend. He told Moses, here stands Moses on Mount Horeb, alone, in the dark, I imagine, listening to the bleating of those sheep. He's down on the ground and the sand beneath him is wet from his tears and his shoes are off and he's humbled in the presence of God. And God says, right here, this place of humility, this place of lowliness, this place where you're so lonely and separated, I'm going to bring the people of God right here to praise me, to worship me, to glorify me. And I like that God says, certainly. You got no reason to doubt God tonight. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Brother Billy Kelly used to flip that and say all the time, it don't matter whose side you're on if God's not on your side. Amen. And tonight, friend, you might be in a place where you feel defeated, where you feel alone, where you feel discouraged, where you feel separated. But my friend, get ready because God is preparing you to bring you into a place of victory, into a place of His service. You're just now in the place where God can use you and God can call you for His work. We see Moses' token, and last but not least, I'll finish with this. We see Moses' truths. What is it that God wanted to use Moses to do? What is it that God asked of Moses? He said, tell them who I am. He said, what am I going to tell these people when I go down there? What am I supposed to tell Pharaoh? He said, just tell them who I am. Verse number 13. He said, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You know what he was telling Moses? He said, tell him I'm the eternal God. He said, tell him I'm the God that was and that is to come. He was saying, tell him I'm the God who never changes. He said, tell him I'm the God who's come to deliver them, who's come to save them, who's come to redeem them, who's come to take them out from under the hand of the Egyptians. He said, tell him I'm the God who's all powerful, who's all knowing, who's wise, and who's merciful, and who's compassionate, who's come to deliver these people. He said, tell him I am that I am. And he gets a little bit more specific, as if the people were to get confused. When Moses said that, he said, I want you to tell them. He said, and God said more unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. He says, tell them I'm the God who was there with Abraham. Tell them I'm the God who was there with Jacob. Tell them I'm the God who was there with Isaac. Tell them I was God who was there in the beginning. He says, tell them I'm the God who's been faithful all the way through and I'm still going to remain faithful today. Amen. You know what God's called you and I to do in this day and age? He's called us to go out and tell people who He is. That's the best thing you can ever do with your life. That's the way you can make best use of your life here this today, this evening, this week, this month, whatever it might be in the weeks and days and years to come. The best thing you can do with your life is to tell somebody about God. Tell somebody that God loves them. Tell somebody that Jesus came to die for their sins. Tell them about the love of Calvary's cross. Tell them about the constraining love of God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that in due time when we were ungodly and without God, the just died for the unjust. Tell them that He's the eternal God. Tell them that salvation's free. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them who He is. That's the task God's got for you. That's what God wants from you tonight. That's what God desires from you tonight is that you just go out and tell somebody who He is. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around but me. Now I'm going to sing from the hymn book here in just a second, and I wonder if there's any Christians in here tonight that don't want to just come up to this altar and pray and say, God, make me a witness. God, give me power. God, give me grace. God, show me mercy. God, help me to be who it is you've called me to be. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, friend. The Bible tells us that He gifts accordingly, each of us, for His calling. Maybe you're in here tonight, you've never been saved by the grace of God, and you're on your way to hell. You don't have to leave that way. You can be saved by the good grace of God. If there's anybody in here tonight that's never been saved, would you raise your hand? Say, preacher, I've been playing church, I've not been saved, but I need to be saved. I wonder if there's any Christian to raise their hand and say, preacher, I want you to pray that God will help me to answer that call. Whatever it is, that God will help me to answer it. I see those hands. I invite you to come to the altar. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, while on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in Thy merit, would I seek Thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by Thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by.